Hadi bakalım.
The new Justice League just dropped. It's called The Board of Peace.
The Board of Peace.
The Board of Peace. They're going to bring peace to the world somehow. We'll see what happens.
Well, it must be like, you know, Mother Teresa and Nelson Mandela and shit on the board, right? Then, wouldn't you think?
Not Gandhi? Not exactly. We don't really have those figures right now.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Hey, there's also who's not on the board, right?
Kim Jong-un?
No, he's not on the board. That's true.
Yet.
Neither is Macron.
Ooh.
Right?
Missed opportunity there.
Yeah. I mean, he had his glasses on at the WEF. And the first thing I thought is, what did she do to you?
What did she do to you?
You remember that video of when he got like pushed in the face?
Well, that was why he was wearing those. Because he had a black eye.
No, not, well, not.
No, yeah.
Not at the WEF this year. That was like a year ago. Yeah. Does he still have a black eye? Yeah, let's get work on.
Get I don't some know.
BPC or something, my bro. Huh? Get that healed.
Seriously. What? BPC 157?
Yeah. Wolverine stack, bro.
Fucking peptides,
get
bro.
Healed up. Yeah. Not an endorsement or medical advice.
HGH, straight in the neck.
That's what I do. All right.
So what the hell is the Board of Peace and why should we care? It sounds nice.
The Board of Peace grew out of
the greater good.
The greater good.
The Board of Peace grew out of the Gaza peace framework.
20-point peace plan.
Yes. The initial concept was to oversee the ceasefire, stabilization, the reconstruction, and the transitional government in the Gaza Strip.
To end the war and to move the Middle East beyond all the conflict.
A big part of that being this very tricky process. That is very difficult, that we'll highlight some more later, kind of get into the details of how to take this long of time in Gaza to transition to something else, right? So it's been unveiled formally at Davos, right? It's been an invitation kind of sitting out there for a little bit. And instead of naming just Gaza directly, the speech emphasized like everything. It's like a general board of peace. So like, it kind of took like
for
this,
the world.
It morphs to this more general non-UN peacemaking, peace-encouraging board of a bunch of states, right?
Is it like Trump really gunning for that Nobel Peace Prize?
Maybe.
He really wants that Nobel Peace Prize.
Maybe, that might be it. There's a lot of people who stipulated that that's part of it. I mean, he was given the Nobel Peace Prize by that lady from Venezuela.
Yeah, but didn't the Nobel like committee say that you can't just give your award to someone?
It's excuse so me, man.
You can't just give that. It's like trying to give away like the Lombardi Trophy. Or
yeah,
something. Like,
exactly.
Hey, we won the Super Bowl, but we like you and we want some favors from you in the future. So here you go. You can have it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like it's got my name on it, but it's fine. You can have it.
It's especially ironic given the reason why the Nobel Peace Prize exists in the first place.
Why?
Because the invention of dynamite.
Explain.
Yeah, guy invents dynamite.
Merchant of Death.
The Merchant of Death.
Oh.
Because very wealthy on it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I got a rebrand, so I'm gonna do a prize, and yeah.
Okay, so he goes to make, you know, explosives,
mm-hmm.
and decides actually that's maybe not a good legacy to have, just blowing limbs off and whatnot.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start a committee.
The Rogan story that he always tells is, and I don't know if it's true, I've never looked it up and verified, is that he, a newspaper thought he died. And that was his obituary, was Merchant of Death.
Right, right.
So
right.
He got upset by that. So that's why he rebranded.
Mm, yep. That tracks. You want a better title for that. Although that is pretty badass, I will say, but maybe not the best legacy.
It'd be the antithesis of the Board of Peace.
The Board of Peace.
It's about the greater good.
The greater good.
Okay.
So post-conflict stabilization, enduring peace, reconstruction, and lawful governance, regions emerging from a prolonged conflict is what it's morphed into from its original relatively narrow focus on Gaza and creating a more multi-country, multilateral approach so that the Arabs, specifically, of Palestine feel comfortable with a new transition into something else, right? They want to make sure that they're not going to be ethnically cleansed in the process. Ethnic cleansing does not necessarily mean you kill everybody. It means you just erase their culture. When we took Native Americans and forcibly tried to educate their children, indoctrinate their children to believing other things than their parents, that was an ethnic cleansing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
A similar thing in Gaza, for example, would be the similar thing. Not saying that's a plan or anything like that. Take it easy. But I am saying that that is their concern, naturally.
Sure.
As a people that have evolved out of their circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so who is on the Board of Peace currently?
All right. So the Board of Peace is made up of Donald Trump, who is the chairman, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got two senior advisors. This is directionally correct. We don't actually know that much about the Board of Peace, to be completely frank with you, because it's not a law. It's a private club the president set up. And because it's a private club the president set up, get this, he's chairman for life.
Oh, wow.
Ben, did you know that? He's chairman for life.
So like a year?
Well,
you know, I hope it lives longer than that.
Jesus, I mean, dude, depends on if the Democrats win in 28.
I really want to win bingo. So.
Well, how does this play into your bingo card, Ben?
I predicted he dies.
Oh, show. Man. All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dark, bro.
In that case, there may be a succession plan.
So anyways, so who's on the board? There's a bunch of countries have joined, and then you have the executive board who governs it. So the countries that joined, their role on the board isn't as clear. Other than that, they would have a place in it for the executive board. So, right.
So we've got Marco Rubio, U.S. Secretary of State, Steve Witkoff, the U.S. Special Envoy, Jared Kushner, Affinity Partners and Trump's son-in-law, Tony Blair of the U.K., Institute for Global Change, Mark Rowan, Apollo Global Management, A.J. Bonga, World Bank Group, Robert Gabriel, Deputy National Security Advisor, as well as Nikolay Mladenov. A high representative. I don't know if that means he's bringing the cannabis to the table or what exactly a high representative is.
I'm Ron Bergen.
Bring that.
High representative.
Bringing that, what are you, that Eastern European sweet ganja into the meetings.
I don't think that's a
it's
thing.
Like peace, bro.
It's like peace, bro. Anyway. Okay, and then we've got some other arrows pointing to things. This is like the most corporate, but like B-grade corporate I've ever seen. It's like they totally just made it up in 20 seconds in PowerPoint.
I just couldn't find coherent lists and things.
Yeah.
And this was actually kind of showed the different bodies somewhat concisely.
And then we've got like a separate Gaza executive board. So these folks are specifically going to be working on the Gaza reconstruction.
Yes, because Gaza is kind of the first start for the Board of Peace.
First
it's
project.
Like, if they can do that, then what else can they do?
It's proof of concept.
Yeah. Board of Peace is pay to play. So every country that joins has to pledge $1 billion a year.
Wow, that's more than the WEF.
Really?
Yeah, I think a ticket to the WEF is like $40,000.
Wow.
But, you know, it's different.
Is it $1 billion a year?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
So nations are joining and then appointing a representative to the board.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Joined the Board of Peace. Yeah, let's bring this up just so I have. So we got a coalition of countries. All right, joined or committed to join Albania, Argentina, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Belarus, Bulgaria, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, Jordan, Kazakhstan, Kosovo, Mongolia, Morocco, Pakistan, Paraguay, Qatar, nice. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, the United Arab Emirates, Uzbekistan, and Vietnam. So there's a couple other countries that are invited as well that have not gotten back, such as Russia.
Right. I heard that Putin was invited to be on the board. Is that right?
Yeah. Those are the 20 countries that participated in the Davos ceremony, and Putin didn't go to Davos because he might get arrested.
Or like poisoned or whatever.
Yeah. But Israel's not on this list, but Israel's joined.
Okay.
So those were the ones that were in Davos.
Gotcha.
And there are more.
Well, I didn't hear like the UK, Australia, like Western Canada.
Yeah. France, United Kingdom, Norway, Sweden, and Slovenia have declined to join.
Interesting. Hey,
Starmer hates Trump, right? So, of course, that, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so Western European leaders who are more of the like globalist EU types have said, now we're good.
Right, and because it's a private club, it's even more Trumpian. Does that make sense? So, like it's not like we're trying to redo the League of Nations here, and it was a treaty that was passed by the U.S. Senate and all that. No, it's literally just Trump's, like, social club. So when they all got together to do that, it's more like is if you and your boys got together to sign some paperwork that says you're going to hang out again in the future.
Try smoke a cigar, problems. Play some poker, solve some world peace problems.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean,
that's what me and my friends do.
Legally speaking, is not different than that, right?
Slightly lower budget for my friend group there, but it's
funny. Sylvania is on that list. So we also have other global players. This is reported by the AP. Other global players such as China, India, Germany, and Russia remain undecided or have not formally joined. We have specific comments from Russia I'd like to put out when he received the invitation, which I feel like are somewhat enlightening to the way that they're kind of contending with it. Obviously, the price tag's pretty steep. So he had some comments I'll talk about afterwards on the price tag.
Regarding the Board of Peace, we have received a personal invitation from U.S. President Donald Trump to join the new international structure, the Board of Peace, which is being established at his initiative. In this connection, I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to the U.S. President for the invitation. We have always supported and continue to support any efforts aimed at strengthening international stability. We also appreciate the contribution of the current U.S. administration to the search for a solution to the Ukrainian crisis. Speaking about our participation in the Board of Peace, the Foreign Ministry has been instructed to analyze the documents we have received and consult our strategic partners on this matter. Only after doing this can we formulate our reply to the invitation that has been extended to us. The proposal we have received primarily concerns a settlement in the Middle East and the search for possible solutions to the pressing problems of the Palestinian people and the acute humanitarian issues in the Gaza Strip. In this connection, I will emphasize the main points. The main point is that the process should have a beneficial effect on the long-term settlement of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Based on the relevant decisions of the UN, it is important for all essential needs and desires of the Palestinians to be taken into account. This concerns the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip and its basic social infrastructure, including the healthcare and water supply systems, as well as uninterrupted food supplies. Therefore, I believe that even before we formulate our decision regarding our participation and work on the Board of Peace and taking into account Russia's special relations with the Palestinian people, we can transfer the $1 billion from the Russian assets frozen under the previous U.S. administration. Hell yeah, brother. Oh, God.
Right?
Oh, my God. That's right. Fucking genius. That's really... God, that is a baller play. Oh, you have to respect that. Like, hey, y'all got some of our money over there. Why don't you just take a little bit of that? Count us in, bro.
Yeah, here's the White House announcement. The Board of Peace. The first steps toward a brighter day for the Middle East and much safer future for the world are unfolding right before your very eyes. President Donald J. Trump. It's got this nice little logo.
United States right in the middle of it. Love it.
Yeah, it's like, it's funny because you compare it to the UN where it actually has the whole world. It's like, Board of Peace, America.
What's up?
About Gaza. It doesn't make any sense.
It's right over, it's over there. Kind of over there.
Yeah, just over here. also, this image might be computer generated, which is also awesome.
Hell yeah.
AI generated.
Hey man, use the tools available to you, right? Mm-hmm. Why pay a designer? Jesse is going to kill me for saying this. Why pay a designer when Grok can do it for you?
Hey, dude, how is he going to address that $1.7 trillion annual deficit if you're paying designers over here?
I mean,
okay?
look, all
we
I'm
fired
gonna say,
all the designers. They were part of the 270,000 employees that they just fired, Joe.
That's why everything that the government makes looks like garbage. No. Look, this gives me confidence. You know, it's like a nonprofit. You don't want to see their budget, their fundraising going to administrative fees.
Yes.
Clearly, they're trying to make sure that the $1 billion from each nation gets spent on actual stuff that really advances the moves on the ground instead of designing logos.
Yes.
You know,
totally fair.
Golden toilets and $20,000 hammers and stuff.
And one more thing about the logo is it definitely, you look at this, you're like, oh yeah, it's Trump. Oh yeah. It's so gold.
It's gold.
It's so gold. Oh man. I love gold.
I was just thinking, I wish I had that. Yeah.
All right. So Gaza timeline. So this is like their first timeline that this we'll kind of go through the we have the announcement here on the website. We also have a video from Eric Kushner going through this.
Jared Kushner.
Eric Kushner. My bad.
Eric Trump.
Yeah. All right. So, Tier Years War, all the status quo, 90,000 tons of munitions, 60 million tons of rubble, tens of thousands of fatalities. That's okay. The 20-point plan as this interrupting period, and then peace and prosperity, security, de-radicalization, free market economy, and reconstruction. Now, this one is where I'm most like, that's a tough call, bro. Mostly because
when you say that, just for the listeners, you're pointing to de-radicalization.
That's a very difficult question. Okay, so the challenge is how do you build a nation by changing values of that nation? For example, after World War II, denazification was a major effort that took several decades, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a major, and this is after a devastating defeat. And to a Western country, you know, by another Western country, as opposed to what's happening here, which feels very different in a way, similar but different. I mean, in terms of scope and scale of destruction and all that kind of stuff, yeah, there's a lot of similarities you probably draw. But another parallel is de-Bothification after Iraq. And that appears to failed, but not really, you know, because a lot of Bothists still wound up in government in Iraq. And they just did so by not emphasizing their Bothist credentials, but it's the same people. This has been reported by a lot of different news outlets and is one of the current challenges still to this day in Iraq.
Is your hesitation there sort of around the idea that in order to quote unquote de-radicalize, you sort of have to cleanse the Palestinian people of their, this like really deeply ingrained cultural, you know, feeling of oppression by the Israeli people and government in order to kind of mend that fence? Is that?
Yeah. Imagine if you were 13 years old and you just saw everyone else in your family die by an Israeli bomb and you're like supposed to de-radicalize now.
Yeah.
It's like what's the program over. You pull together to make that happen exactly, you know?
Right.
Difficult question. And that's one of the major parts. I mean, obviously the other things, everyone wants to see reconstruction. I would love to see a free market economy and a great, you know, peace and prosperity for the Palestinian people, but can they achieve that without political autonomy? And does this actually achieve political autonomy so that there's no reason for resentment?
Well, look, I couldn't. So I don't know if you have in your notes here, the image that Jared Kushner brought up in Davos this week about the Gaza reconstruction.
Yeah.
Because it looks very much like the coast of Florida, you know, high-rise towers and glistening and gleaming everything. And I have a hard time reconciling that with the Palestinians having political autonomy, because somebody or multiple somebodies are going to be pumping hundreds of billions of dollars into this area in order to develop that, and they're certainly going to want control over how that is done and what the ongoing environment is like in that area.
And so, who's going to own all this?
And who's going to own it? Yeah. Right. And what role do the Palestinian people play in this new glistening jewel on the sea?
Well, let's listen to this glistening jewel talk about it.
And we brought in, I think, Yakir Gabay, who's one of the most successful real estate developers and brilliant people I know. He's volunteered to do this not-for-profit, really because of his heart. He wants to do this. And we've developed ways to redevelop Gaza. Gaza, as President Trump's been saying, has amazing potential. And this is for the people of Gaza. We've developed it into zones. In the beginning, we were toying with the idea of saying, let's build a free zone, and then we have a Hamas zone. And then we said, you know what? Let's just plan for catastrophic success. Hamas signed a deal to demilitarize. That is what we are going to enforce. People ask us what our plan B is. We do not have a plan B. We have a plan. We signed an agreement. We are all committed to making that agreement work. There's a master plan. We'll be doing it in phasing. In the Middle East, they build cities like this in 2-3 million people. They build this in 3 years. And so stuff like this is very doable if we make it happen. Rafah will start with. This will show a lot of workforce housing. We think this could be done in 2-3 years. We've already started removing the rubble and doing some of the demolition. And then New Gaza.
Wow.
It could be a hope. It
what
could be a destination.
Was have left
a lot of industry
do.
And really be a place that the people there can thrive, have great employment. Once this starts going, we think there should be 100% full employment and opportunity for everybody there. And we have a lot of data on what can be, but we think that this really gives the Gazan people an opportunity to live their aspirations. But it all starts with security, and it all starts with governance. Final note I'll just say on the Board of Peace, which is that all the lessons we're doing is we're basically studying the best practices from all over the world, and we're watching who does education the best, who does healthcare delivery the best. All these things it's not secret IP. All this is IP that the Board of Peace is going to make public, and we want to encourage all the countries to be able to follow these best practices. A lot of the things that President Trump is doing in America, if they're working, we should all be copying them. If we find what's working in other countries, we should be copying them too. And so what the Board of Peace will have the ability to do if we're successful with Gaza is really show how do you do peace implementation, which is something that when we got this deal done, we didn't really find too much expertise or know-how on how to do it. So as we're creating this system, hopefully it's something that we can just document these learnings and make them available to all else who want to use them in the future.
Yeah, so the Board of Peace, that's the idea, is they're going to continue level the place more. I guess you got to get all that rubble out of the way so you can build these skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
The image you're talking about, Joe, is this one right here.
New Gaza. So yeah, for those that are just listening, he's flipping through some slides here.
Coastal tourism.
First he had New Rafah up there as well. If you could go back to that one, David. It looks like the most dystopian suburb of condos and apartments as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
100,000 plus permanent housing units. 200 plus education centers, re-education centers probably would be more appropriate. I'm kidding. Or am I? I don't know.
Well, I mean, keep in mind.
How else are they going to de-radicalize?
Keep in mind, part of the justification by some of the most radical Zionists was that, well, they teach their kids to hate Jews, so therefore it's okay to kill lots of kids. I mean, it got very weird, guys. Yeah. It got weird times.
180 cultural, religious, and vocational centers, and 75 plus medical facilities. So then New Gaza certainly looks like a beachfront resort city in Florida.
It kind of reminds me of Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, like, it's got that sort of metropolitan Dubai kind of energy to it.
Yeah.
Lots of really interesting architecture.
Yeah, so obviously super futuristic future town. But the question is what's going to happen to the Gazans, right? And with all this education, workforce training, all that kind of stuff, I mean, you could make a case. There's a sensibility here, right? I mean, if you're somebody who's a third generation refugee who's been living in Gaza, born and raised with a bunch of other brothers and sisters who didn't have jobs, and if they did, they mostly just survived by going into Israel, and all of a sudden you have a job in Gaza, building something, maintaining something, servicing something. That's got to be better. And that keeps in mind that, you know, most of the people in Gaza for this entire time have been regular people who just happened to live and were born into a giant system of reservation of sorts, like a reservation. That's the easiest way for an American to understand it.
Sure.
Where there are very little jobs, very little opportunity for getting basic supplies, food, water, shelter, and no economy whatsoever really to speak of. In part because of Hamas and in part because of repeated bombings from the Israelis and other sorts of policies that isolated them from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I still have here is, to what degree are they going to be able to persuade with an imperfect amount of de-radicalization, an imperfect security situation, because that's impossible to imagine.
Can't imagine this is just going to turn into a capitalist utopia overnight.
Yeah. Will the Israelis loosen up on their blockade of Gaza, which has pretty much been happening since the early 2000s.
Well, you would have to think that if Zionists, broadly speaking, are involved in the reconstruction, they would, because then they would have economic resources tied up in the success of this place, and that they would want to see it succeed and, you know, have trade happen so they can make money and all the things, right? I mean, we shouldn't delude ourselves. Like, it's all well and good to wrap this in the flowery imagery of doing good for the Palestinian people, but this is BlackRock and Vanguard all day investing in building skyscrapers and you know, oil companies drilling for oil off the coast and jobs and all that stuff. Great, until they're replaced by robots in 10 years. But like, this is for like really high net worth individuals and institutions to make a shitload of money rebuilding this place, same as it is in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's one of the scarier questions, and something that they have to keep an eye on, has to be policed, has to make sure that cronyism doesn't happen so that you don't run over budget. And that's innate to government. Of those things seem to inevitably happen every single time. So it is very naive to walk into this with like, oh, it's going to be an absolute win. It's going to go exactly the way it is on paper. Of course not.
Yeah, we're gonna build this city for 2 to 3 million people in 3 years. Like, okay, let's see it.
Yeah. Well, Elon better get on those
backup plan.
Yeah. Who needs a backup plan? They're radical optimists.
I do appreciate their optimism.
Yeah. So interesting thing about the countries involved. Additionally to that, this is 11 of the 25 countries on Trump's Board of Peace are currently banned from immigrant visas to the United States.
But they can go to New Gaza.
That's funny. But that's a lot of that's the reason why, right? Is because many of them are Middle Eastern countries that themselves, you know, are have been brought in specifically because they're most interested parties and trusted parties to the Palestinians.
Sure.
Yeah. So
sure. Well, good.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I want to note too, and this was my first like, how can he do this? Because there's no this not being a treaty obligation or any formal government institution, literally a private club. Now, it is interesting that the UN Security Council has basically recognized it. So that does give it a little bit of credibility.
Interesting. Congratulations to the world on the incredible vote of the United Nations Security Council just moments ago, acknowledging and endorsing the Board of Peace, which will be chaired by me and include the most powerful and respected leaders throughout the world. I won't read the whole thing, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And I think everything's computer.
Let's see here. Thanking the United Nations and all the countries on the UN Security Council. And he lists all the a bunch of the countries in the UN Security Council. So it is interesting that Slovenia and the UK voted for recognizing it, but didn't join it themselves.
And France.
Yeah. And France. Well, and a lot of those countries have been relatively, some of the countries that are most supportive of.
I notice he didn't thank us for our attention to this matter.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel thanked at all.
Apparently our attention doesn't matter.
He doesn't care. He got the vote. All right. Yeah. So anyways, that is the Board of Peace. It's going to be a short episode today. Just kind of a fun little like this happened because I just did a debate, moderated my first debate online with 20,000 people watching live. That was nuts.
Yeah.
On Zero Hedge. So you should check that out. We'll put a link below in the description. And go check that out. It was a lot of fun.
How did you think it went?
Insightful, but not as fiery as I hoped. I probably should have designed questions that were more like
provocative.
Yeah, provocative, or kind of let myself off the leash a little bit more to push. I think honestly, I pushed Scott harder than I did Fred. Fred was the guy from America First Policy Institute, mm-hmm. and he was kind of like more like status quo Trump defender, and Scott, of course, is Scott Horton.
Yeah,
you know, being pro peace, and so I felt a little bit more comfortable pushing him, right? Because I already knew my bias, so I was like, and then Fred, I was like, I asked sharp questions though, but I didn't riff as much.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, I thought you did a great job, and yeah, I definitely encourage everybody to go check that out. We will put a link in the description of this video, won't we, Bennett? We encourage you to watch that and, follow Zero Hedge Debates. They're doing a lot of great stuff, having a lot of great guests. If you haven't checked those out yet, you definitely should. And hopefully we'll see David Rand moderating more of those in the future.
That'd be a lot of fun. I'm pumped.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you for watching this short episode of Human Reaction. We appreciate you. Join our Discord, jump into the conversation with us. What do you think of the Board of Peace? Do you think it's going to work? Do you think Hamas is going to just take over again in short order? Let us know in the comments below. And of course, if you haven't subscribed to this channel, we please ask you to do that because it's very important for us to get on the good side of the algorithm. Go ahead and drop us a like while you're at it. And if you're watching this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please give us a review. Those go very far and they help us a lot. We appreciate you guys. For David Rand and Bennett, I'm Joe Sheehan. We'll see you in the next one.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember,
the Board of
the
Peace.
Board of Peace.
None of that is going to happen.
Yeah.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.